glad I am to be here today. God is wonderfully good, isn't he? Let me pray. O God, our loving Father, we thank you for your presence with us now, here in this church and wherever we are, listening and hearing. Help us to keep our focus on you and listen to what you are saying to us. We come in the name and through Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Well, as best I can, I want to proclaim the greatness of God the Trinity. This is what the Bible is all about. Our human understanding is limited, as Psalm 145 says. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. It is beyond description. It is beyond measurement. God's greatness is many-faceted. But arguably, the most important is that God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the distinctive and all-comprehensive truth revealed about God throughout the Bible, from Genesis, right at the beginning of creation, right to the end of Revelation. God is Trinity. The Bible, which reveals God's great rescue operation, saving us from our sin and our lack of love for him, our selfishness, God the Father, in his love for us, sending Jesus his Son, who undertakes this saving work, through his birth, life, death on the cross, resurrection, ascension to heaven. And then God, the Holy Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, sent to accomplish this work in us, enabling us to recognize our sin, to admit it, and to repent, and then to believe in Jesus. It is the work, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught about the Father, he taught about himself, he taught about the Holy Spirit. And the clearest expression of the unity comes in Matthew 28, verse 19. If you've got your Bibles open, do look back to that verse now. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into," that's probably a better translation, "into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Notice, name in the singular, not names in the plural. Name. God is one. Three distinct persons, but undivided. Different roles for each one, but God is one. Let me give you an illustration. A hand. Now, a hand is the fingers, thumb, and the palm. If you take away one part of it, it isn't complete, but it's all part of one hand. The Trinity is all together, completely undivided in himself. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Philip, one of his disciples, said to him, "Show us the Father." Jesus said this, and it is truly amazing. "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Absolutely one and completely undivided. Complete in himself is the Trinity, living in perfect love and harmony. He doesn't need us, but he wants his love to spill out. His love is so tremendous. He wants his love to spill out to us so that we respond by loving him and coming into a living relationship with him. That is a true believer in Jesus, a true Christian. And having that relationship, we are in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, as John says in his first epistle. This is the glorious gospel. You wonder when I'm getting back to the text, but look at your Bible again, Matthew 28. It's the last few verses of Matthew's gospel. And wherever you look in the Bible, you can see that the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, often hidden. But let's look at the work of the Trinity revealed here in these last few verses. Verse 16. The disciples were obedient to Jesus, and they went to the mountain in Galilee where he had told them to go. That is the work of the Spirit in us, enabling us to obey all that Jesus has commanded. We are weak. There it is there. We are weak. All of us are weak. We can't, without the help of the Spirit, obey God completely. But through the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit, we are enabled. See the work of the Spirit hidden there? They were obedient and they went to the mountain. Now, wherever in the Bible you see mountain, it is very, very significant. Mountain is putting up the flag. Now, whatever goes on now is going to be really important. Think about the Bible in the Bible. First of all, Abraham sacrificing, or told to sacrifice, his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And then, wonderfully, God providing the sacrifice. Just as Jesus provides the sacrifice for us, he has provided this sacrifice. We need, as Paul says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus is given the sacrifice for us. Then Moses receiving the law. What is the law? It's actually not just only commands, but it reveals who God is. So much more important. And Elijah on the mountain, Mount Carmel, and Jill and I went there. It was amazing. But there was Elijah saying to the people, right, now, who are you going to love and serve? Is it God or is it going to be Baal? And that's true for all of us. Are we going to love and worship the living God or is it going to be some other God? There's a very interesting verse in the Psalms which says, you become what you worship. I think it's round about Psalm 115. I keep quoting the Psalms because the Psalms are so important in my life. Then the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is comprehensive, his teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. Then take the Transfiguration. Jesus taking those disciples up the mountain and being transfigured. They saw Jesus as he really is, wonderful, beyond description. Then the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended. And actually, Jerusalem is called Mount Zion because it's such an important place. That's where Jesus died, that's where he rose to life. Each of these verses, you could take so much time. But then let's go to the next verse. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. They saw Jesus, and some of them worshipped. Now, this is very interesting in the Greek. When you look at the Greek, in that word, in verse 18, Jesus came, it actually says Jesus approached. He came nearer. So initially he was quite far away. Some people worshipped, but some people doubted. The closer you are to Jesus, the fuller your worship will be. We need to be really close to Jesus. If you're not close to Jesus, I can tell you, you will doubt. Look at it, it's the reality. But I want to be so close to Jesus that I'm fully worshiping him. Worship, of course, is so important. Jesus, talking to the woman at the well, said, the Father seeks those who will worship him, worship in spirit and truth. Isn't that amazing? The Father in heaven is seeking those who will worship him. And it's got to be in the spirit and it's got to be in truth. There are two words for worship in the Greek. The first one is proskuneo. Kuneo means to kiss, pros means to, kissing to. It means loving. And the other one is latreia, which means to serve. And actually, it echoes wonderfully Jesus' great command to us, his two commands. Love God with all you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's not just on a Sunday. To give a new thing, which I don't use very often, it's 24/7. Absolutely all the time, worshiping. Everything we do can be worship. Loving God and loving our neighbor. So Jesus came to them and he said, verse 18, all authority has been given to me. And who gave Jesus the authority? The Father. It doesn't actually say the Father, he's hidden there. But the Father has given Jesus all authority. Isn't that amazing? All authority in heaven and earth. I tell you, none of us will ever quite get our minds round that. He has got all authority. He's supreme over all. There is no one higher than Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth. And then verse 19, he says, go, make disciples of all nations. Notice all nations, making disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've talked about the name already. Verse 20, teaching them to obey everything, all things that I have commanded you. And then that last verse, verse 21. Why has Matthew given this last verse? Well, let's look at it a little more closely. Surely I am with you always to the end of the age. God's covenant name was revealed to Moses as I am that I am, his covenant name. In the Hebrew, it's Yahweh, or for short, Yah. I am with you. And here in the Greek, it says, surely I, ego, with you, I am. John has so many I am sayings, doesn't he? All those wonderful sayings, I've quoted one already. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, ego, eimi in the Greek. And here it is, I am with you. So Yahweh in the Old Testament is the Trinity. And in our Bibles, every time that word comes, it's Lord, in capitals, so that you know, Lord is Yahweh. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Great is Yahweh. The Holy Trinity is Yahweh. Wonderful that God is the covenant-keeping God. He has bound himself to us. Isn't that extraordinary? This is the glory of the gospel, the good news. God has bound himself to us, and he is faithful to keep all his promises. Psalm 145, another verse from Psalm 145. What have you been doing in lockdown? I've used it as an opportunity. I've used it as an opportunity to look at my prayer life. Prayer, in tradition, of course, is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's asking, acts, if you like. But one thing is missing in that, I think, when I teach anybody. L, listening. We need to listen. Prayer is a two-way activity. It's a dialogue. Listening to God, yes, speaking to him as well. We need so much to pray, to praise God. And this is what I'm thinking about so much. Adoration is more important than anything else, actually. When we pray, do we spend time thinking who we're praying to? Or what are we praying about? Do we spend all our time thinking about what we're praying about rather than who we're praying to? Surely it's more who we're praying to is the most important thing. And that is where adoration comes in. For me, the resource to help, because I want to adore God more and more, I want to praise him, spend longer praising him. For me, Psalm 145 has been really very helpful. So I just like occasionally to give out something. I mean, because the Holy Trinity is so vast a subject. Psalm 145 is actually an exposition of the end of the Lord's Prayer. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I did ask our home group once to go away, look at Psalm 145 every day before we meet again, and come back with a prayer based on it. And they did, and it was a tremendous blessing to us. Yes, it was. Why not go and look at Psalm 145? I use a psalm in my prayers every single day. I meditated, and I'm spending more time now meditating on a psalm than I used to. That's changed the way that I... Look at your prayer life. Is there anything that needs to change? Where does adoration take part in your prayer life? It should be right at the beginning, as Wesley, Luther, Calvin, Matthew Henry, all these people, and a modern person who's written on prayer, Timothy Keller. He's written a wonderful book on prayer. It should be actually right at the beginning. It should be the springboard as we go into all our other prayers. I could talk for quite a long time, but Steve is worried about the time. But let's leave this with you. The covenant-keeping God has bound himself to be with us always to the end of the age. Isn't that such a comfort? And so many of us probably need comforting when we go through difficulties, and this has been a very difficult time. How comforting. Yahweh, God, the covenant-keeping God, I am, Jesus says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. All I can say is God is the greatest. There's no one greater than God. Hallelujah. And I noticed, I only found out this last year, in the Hebrew, hallelujah is the imperative second person plural. When you say hallelujah, you're saying you praise the Lord. When Stephen stands up behind, he says hallelujah, your response should be praise the Lord. Let me pray. God, loving Father, Holy Trinity, covenant-keeping God, we offer you our worship, our love, and our devotion. We praise your great and holy name, for truly yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen, which means it is true. I believe it totally. I hope you do as well.